Thanks, Vaughn, for doing that. I know you're grateful for what God has given us in this great nation and all those who have defended us. So that's a beautiful tribute, and it's inspiring, and it allows us to think for a moment about those who have given so much for us. I love the hymns the choir did. Those hymns written so well allow us to think about the one we are here to praise and worship. So we had a great time worshiping the Lord this morning. We're going to hear the word of God. My father-in-law, Bill Robinson, is going to come and share. He spoke last Sunday, and they've been here for 2 weeks, so Wednesday they'll be heading back to California. So before he comes, I'm going to ask my mother-in-law, Mary Robinson, if she would just stand and share a word of testimony with you there. I'll bring the mic down here and give you a greeting. So it's been a delight to have him here visiting with us and sharing.
Well, it's always our pleasure to be here. And, of course, if we were rich, we'd come more often. But God is good, and I've enjoyed being here, enjoyed seeing all of you that I've met before, and a few new, the ones that I haven't seen before. You know, God's family is so fabulous. Everywhere you go, and people that love the Lord, you just feel that kindred spirit. God's a faithful God. You know, I celebrated a birthday while I was here, believe it or not. To be with family during that time. I've got family at home, but I'm going to get to celebrate twice, probably. Well, you know, when you get our age, my age, you just need to celebrate about a week long or something. But God is faithful. You know what? I wouldn't want to miss heaven for anything in this world. My son was talking to me the other day, and he said his son was telling his in-laws, you know, I've never once had a doubt about my dad making it to heaven. He said, I just know he's ready. And he says, and Mom, that's the way I feel about you. And, you know, it kind of set me back a little bit. I thought, Lord, wouldn't it be a shame to miss heaven with my son having that kind of confidence? But you know, it's not confidence in me. It's the God that keeps us. If we didn't submit ourselves to him and allow him to direct us, we'd all be lost. But oh, thank God that he made such a wonderful way for us that we can all be together in heaven if we'll only do what the book says to do. I'm so glad that he left us that roadmap. Didn't leave us just out there to flounder on our own, but he said, this is the way, walk ye in it, and if we will be nothing but blessed. Not that we won't have some hard times along the way, but he promised that he would never leave us or forsake us. And I've lived 79 years and 2 days now, and I can tell you for a fact that God has never failed me once. And I love him with all my heart, and it's great to be here. Sorry we have to go home, but we'll be back. Lord willing.
I'm ready, Bill.
Lord bless you, Bill. Okay. God bless. Well, we're excited to be here, and another week has already gone into eternity, and we just keep praising the Lord because he's been so good to us. If you have your Bible with you this morning, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 6. I said to Mary, I just wonder how I could turn this into a memorial service. But I believe the Lord has something in this for someone. Let's just read it together, a few verses. I still have to use my glasses, and even those are not the best to me because my eyes are failing. You know, when you get up another few days, I'll be 84, and you get a little feeble. So, but we will try our best. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood two seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with two they covered their face, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one cried to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Father, we just lift our hearts to you this morning. And Lord, only by your Holy Spirit can you take of what you've been laying on my heart and share it with these precious saints of God and those that are here today. Lord, I pray that you'll hide us behind the cross, that none might be seen save Jesus and Jesus only. May he alone get the praise and the honor and the glory. Lord, anoint our ears that we might hear. And Lord God, give us receptive hearts that we might receive and give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you were here on Wednesday night, if you weren't, you missed a tremendous study. And I would encourage you to get out on Wednesday nights and get around the Word of God. We need the Word of God more today than ever before. It's not something like a hit and miss situation. We just can't say, well, now like a chicken there when mother puts it on and cooks it, that, oh, well, I'll take a leg and somebody wants to take the breast and somebody, I don't like that white meat, give me the dark meat. And we pick and choose. But there's no picking and choosing of the Word of God. Folks, it is food for your life, for your heart. It's that marrow for your bones. And as I was reading this verse of scripture, I couldn't help but think of what Pastor had said on Wednesday night about a young man, the name of Uzziah. He was 16 years old when he began to reign. And one of the most beautiful things about him was he kept in company with good people. Oh, today, young people, make sure the people that you hang around with or have company with are good people. People that will steer you, direct you, encourage you to keep on keeping on serving the Lord. We run into situations and times where people, well, they have an idea. You know, it's all right to do this. It's all right to do the other thing. But when it comes to a question mark, take God at his word. And here we find that Isaiah here in chapter 6 says, the year that Uzziah died. Now, this is the young king that done exploits. A young man that had tremendous possibilities. A young man who was a great inventor. And the Bible says about him was, as long as he looked to the Lord and sought the Lord, he was marvelously and wonderfully blessed. Would that we would take a leaf out of his book there. But you know, the scripture makes it very clear that in Galatians 3:6 it says, if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, after pastoring for 65 years or so, I've run into many situations like this young man, King Uzziah. We would mentor them, encourage them, And we would see them blossom and bloom. And we would see them rise up in the church and become real good churchmen. And we would probably say maybe to the board, you know, I have great promises for that young man. And then the time would come that he would get lifted up because he felt that he was getting so sufficient in everything. He would do like Uzziah. He would leave God out of the equation. And then it caused me to really think of what Isaiah is saying. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. For some reason I get very dry. I'm a dry preacher. In that year, he is looking back over that year that King Uzziah died. And I believe that his heart is broken. Like many pastors today, when they look over and see the potential that one time many in the congregation had of excelling to great heights and great depths with God, getting them ready, as it were, preparing them for ministry perhaps, and yet we see them taking a detour away from the Word of God. David said, thy word, in Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I need to know exactly where I stand. And I believe that it's one of the things that every time we come to church, it's a time of inventory. We need to take stock of exactly where we are. We're on a great road. We're on the highway to heaven. And the devil is doing everything that he possibly can to hinder you, to stop you from excelling and being your very best for God. And as the result, we become flippant and we come relaxed and we say, well, I really don't have to do that. I really don't have to go to church. I really don't have to participate. I don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. I don't have to be a nursery worker. I don't have to do this or do the other thing. And as the result, when we put these negative questions to our own selves, we find that we step away from what God wants us to do. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it for the Lord. But when I read here what Isaiah says, he says, the year that he died, I believe must have broken Isaiah's heart. There is nothing breaks my heart more than to see where someone has great possibilities and great prospects of being the very best for God, and then see them going the way. We have seen it with television evangelists. We have seen it with other ministries. They excel. Their church is growing. It's gone and it's going mighty. And all of a sudden, something takes place. Their mind is turned away from God. And this is a trick of the devil in order to get them away from that lamp that's a light onto their path. We need to know where we're going, not only where we're standing. We need to know where we're going. I want to go to heaven. Do you? Isaiah, what in the world took him this day to get into the temple? Get into this place where he was in the presence of God. What drove him there? What drove you to church this morning? Had you a desire this morning that some way, somehow, your presence there at the assembly here would be an encouragement to someone else to lead them on a little higher, lift them up a little step higher in their walk with God? How long has it been since you've been broken? How long has it been since you really cared about the one perhaps sitting beside you, your neighbor or your friend? How long has it been since it burdened you and caused you to weep? Here is Isaiah, and he's broken. And he sees God in a different light altogether. He sees himself as someone who really needs God more than anything else in the world. He may be called the minor or major prophet, but here he stands, and it says the year Isaiah saw the Lord, the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Oh, folks, there's nothing like seeing God in his rightful place. I wonder where you see him today. He's a jealous God. He's an almighty God. We sang about him on the screen. Who is he? He's the invisible. He's the omnipotent. He's the omniscient one. He's the great I am. He's all that we need, and we need to see him there every day, because Jesus says, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. We've got to know him, that he is our Father, and we are inadequate without him. What happened, King Uzziah was, he come to the place where he felt that he was more than adequate. He didn't need God anymore. I'm my own man. I can do all these things. I don't need God. And then he wanted to step into our dispensation. We are the only ones that can become king and priest together. In his dispensation, he only could become a king. But he wanted to get into that temple. He wanted to get in there and lift the censer. He wanted to be able to get in there and burn that incense and be a priest. I'm invisible, invisible. I can be what I want to be. No. He couldn't step into that era. Only you and I can. But that is not what I want to minister to you this morning about. Is this. When Gideon went to defeat the enemy, he told them, those 300 men that were outnumbered by the thousands, he says, take a pitcher with you and lamps. And when I tell you in that darkness, when I tell you to break them pictures and shout the Spirit of the Lord and the sword of Gideon, those pictures were broken. And as the result of those broken pictures, their lamps were lit inside and there was a light shining. And I believe this morning that if ever today in our churches we need to be broken, it's today. This is a memorial day, but I believe it's a day to be broken. I want to see my heart broken. The Bible says a broken and a contrite spirit God will not despise. How long has it been since you've been broken? You remember the song we sang years ago? How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? And you used to weep. I remember when somebody would fall by the wayside or get away from God. We would spend hours with them at the altar. And we would pray with them and we would weep with them. And we wouldn't be content till we seen them right back where they were. But there is a tendency today in the hour in which we live. If that's their choice, let them take it. And that's not the right way to seek God for their behalf, on their behalf. We must weep over the erring one. lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty Savior. I see Nehemiah in chapter 1. Nehemiah comes. His friends come and knock on the door, and he brings them in and says, "Well, good to see you guys. What's happening in Jerusalem?" "Oh, Nehemiah, the walls have been broken down. The gates have been burned. The city is an open prey to the enemy. Devastation everywhere." The Bible says in chapter 3 that Nehemiah wept. And he fasted and he prayed. How long has it been since you fasted and prayed for somebody here in the church? Or do we just let them go on? I think of Joel 2:17, where the Holy Spirit comes along. Even there in the first verse of that chapter, chapter 2, it says, "Blow ye a trumpet in Zion. Blow ye a trumpet in Zion." It meant those times it said that it was, pick up your ears and listen and heed. Then the Spirit of the Lord says, "Let the ministers and the priests weep between the porch and the altar and cry unto the Lord and say, spare the people." You remember the story of Jesus in the boat, sound asleep. The waves were very boisterous. The wind was blowing hard and the water was getting into the boat, and the disciples began to get very nervous and they run and they cried, "Jesus, carest thou not that we perish?" God has got to bring back the caring back to the church. We've got to get what's missed today in the church, and that's weeping. We can sing. We can rejoice. In fact, we can pray. We can jump up and down, and we can do all these things. But how much do you care? How much do you really care about the lost and the dying? Jesus, that day when he stood at the cross and he said to those around him, "Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and your children." Folks, if ever there was a time that we would get back to Isaiah 6, because it was there when Isaiah saw the Lord, the Bible says that he saw the seraphims and he saw what he heard what they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And as they were singing that, he began to see himself. He began to look in and he saw his unworthiness. Oh, folks, there's not one of us worthy. There's not one of us worthy. We are debtors. We are debtors to God this morning. And he said, "Woe is me, for I am unclean. I live amongst unclean people." Oh, may this Memorial Day be a day that we see the glory of God, the mighty holiness of God that we are singing about this morning, because he is high and lifted up and his train will fill the temple. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. How long has it been since you wept for yourself and you've seen how miserable actually you were? Maybe when pastor was preaching, you know, where it says, "Lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us." And you begin to realize You're not being variable. You're not saying to the pastor, Pastor, if you only could see my heart. If you could only see my thoughts today, Pastor. My thoughts were like what God mentioned. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Those thoughts, Pastor, has made me unrighteous. I'm not the saint you think I am. I'm not the Christian you think I am. I've been dabbling in pornography and I've been looking at things and desiring after things that isn't right. But I need a cleansing. Isaiah said, woe is me. He looked in. When he looked up, we've got to look up and measure our statue of living and Christianity with the one we've been worshiping this morning. He set the example. Oh no, not the pastor, not the deacon, Jesus. Nothing short of his pattern is going to make it into heaven. I like what Paul said there in Galatians 4:19. When he was looking at some of his young converts. And I read, I believe, in one commentary one time, and it said that he wept for 3 years that Christ might be formed in them. Oh, folks, it's time that we were weeping again for our children to see Christ formed in them, in their attitude, in their respect, in their love, and in their service for Almighty God. All this morning, I pray that we this morning might allow ourselves to be broken before God. Let us just look this morning and say, Lord, you see me. Like Isaiah did, he says, Lord, I hear what you're saying. And the Lord said, who will go for me? And Isaiah said, yes, I'll go. I'll be that person that you want me to be. I will not be like Uzziah. I will finish the course like Paul. He says, they're set before me. And that ticker tape before me, I'm going to be a winner. I'm going to run as one not beating the air. I'm going to run to win. Would you do that this morning? Would you say, Lord, would you help me this Memorial Day to set my sights aright? That I will have compassion on those that are not walking the way that you would have us to walk according to your word. To walk humbly before our God. To walk circumspectly before God. To walk not as a fool. But when I read the word of God, that I would read that word and give heed to that word. That when the day dawns and the shadows flee away, I know that when you call my name or when you come to the air, I know that I'll be there with you. Is that your desire this morning? That you will bring others to Jesus. That when someone stumbles along the way, you'll not just brush them off and say, well, I didn't have much hope in them anyhow. I didn't think they made that great. Well, you know, Jesus Christ paid the same price for them as he did for you. He paid the same price for the Philippian jailer as he did for the man that was smite in his breast and says, well, thank God I'm not like other people. This morning, would you turn in your offer of mercy this morning and say, Lord, forgive me for my callousness. Forgive me when I didn't care. Forgive me when I wasn't there for someone else. I believe when Isaiah said in that year King Uzziah died, there was 80 plus priests was there in the temple when King Uzziah was going to commit this terrible sin. And there wasn't one of them said, let's pray about this, brother. Let's take this to the altar. And you know, that happens in our churches today. We come with what I can get out of it and not how I can help someone else. I pray this morning that whoever you are this morning that has that uncaring spirit and just, well, as long as I'm okay, God bless my four and no more. If that is you this morning, I pray, I feel sorry for you this morning. And I would ask you this morning to humbly bow your knee before God and say, Lord, help me to be a help no matter where I am fitted in the church. Doesn't have to be in the choir. Doesn't have to be in the orchestra. Doesn't have to be. It can be any department in the church. But don't allow your spirit to get so high and mighty that, oh, forget about him or forget about her. I don't know how the Holy Spirit is bringing this across, but I know it was breaking me. We need to be humble. We need to be humble in the sight of God. Would you stand with me? Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You don't have to do the exalting. He will. Humbly. Humble yourself. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that I let others slip by. I'm sorry, Lord, that I just didn't give the heed or I didn't care as I should have. Help me, Lord, to be faithful in the days that lie ahead. Thank you, Jesus. Could we sing that, Jesus, keep me near the cross? There's a precious fountain. We need to keep near the cross today. He's the only way. He's the only truth. He's the only one that really cares. And there on that cross, he suffered. He bled and died. What a sacrifice. Let us give the sacrifice of praise this morning as we would sing a verse of this. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain free to all a healing stream flows from Calvary's fountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory. ever till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond. Oh, sing that verse again. In the cross, where he bled and died, where he suffered. Oh, yes. Till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. If there's one here this morning and you're not saved, and this have been a little Dutch to you, as it were, but you need Jesus. He's the only one that really cares. He's the only one that really loves you. Unconditionally. It's caused amazing love. And he loves you this morning. And he doesn't want you to be lost. He was the one that gave his life that you might live. He was the one that suffered, bled and died, that you might go to heaven, that you might be saved by his grace, that you might make it. Or maybe you're a backslider. Maybe once you put your name on the roll and said, I would love to be saved. I'd like to be saved. Is there one backslider? And you're not serving God as you should. You know that you're a little arrogant in your spirit. I've got it all patterned down. I can going to make it. I don't need anybody's help. But there's so many has been praying. There's been tears that have been shed for you. Maybe grandmothers, fathers, sisters or brothers. They don't want you to be lost. And he is the great shepherd of the sheep. Can I see that hand anywhere? He loves you. Come to him this morning, Pastor. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, have mercy on us.
Let's bow in prayer. I'd like you to pray with me today if you feel God speaking to you right now. Heavenly Father, I take advantage of this moment because I feel my need to draw close to you. The Holy Spirit is making me aware of my disobedience to you in the areas where I have been rebellious. And I pray right now that my heart would be broken, that I would be aware of all of my sinfulness, and I repent of them. I turn from my sinful ways, and I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for breaking your heart. And I ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. I know that he died on the cross to cleanse me of my sinfulness. And I turn to him today. I commit my heart and I commit my life to him so that I can serve him. I ask you to forgive me for following after the world instead of following you, following after my friends and being more concerned about what people think of me than what you think of me, God. I want to be obedient to you. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. So I pray for every person today, Lord, that has made that prayer, that you will strengthen them, Lord, and that they will follow you with all of their heart. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pray you have a wonderful day with your family today and enjoy the company of those that are close to you. Please greet each other in the love of the Lord before you go today. God bless you.